The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Laura Sievert had to take it to Hilbing. Marcel Wagner had to take it to Hilbing. I'm not going to get anybody to be on the Mary Griffith Show if they think that a requirement is that they have to have a deer hit their car so they can take it to Hilbing. But it's nice to know they're there. Laura Sievert joins us from Arts Quincy. It is, of course, Arts Beat on Wednesday, and I am so excited. The Quincy Symphony Orchestra Association is presenting The Bells of Christmas. This is the Symphony Chorus, Saturday night, 7:30, Salem Evangelical United Church of Christ at 9th and State. My husband came home. You won't be able to see this on the radio, but he said, I saw that lady that's our friend, and he was making his hands go like a director. I go, he goes, you know, she does this. She does this. I said, Phyllis Robertson? He goes, yeah, I ran into her in the grocery store. I told her we were coming to the concert. So.
Ah, you know, that doesn't even narrow it down around here.
No, that really doesn't, yeah.
That's
but
good.
It's going to be great because Dr. Robertson has been with the Symphony Chorus now for 30 seasons, and they have a special song that's composed in her honor, Candle Lit Heart. It's got bells in it.
It is gorgeous, and I'm just so excited about it. If you have been in your mailbox lately, Arts Quincy magazine features Dr. Robinson right on the front cover, alongside a couple of other musicians from the ensemble. Actually, Clara Earhart and John Moore.
We're on the cover,
like,
yes.
I had to snap my fingers on that. Are on the cover of the next Arts Quincy magazine. But we did a great feature on Dr. Robertson because she has had such an amazing career here in Quincy and just in music in general, really. I learned a lot about her when we wrote the article, and I think people are going to love celebrating her at this amazing Christmas concert. I mean, what's better than a great choir at Christmas time?
They do a wonderful job. So Quincy Symphony Orchestra Association Chorus, the Quincy Symphony Chorus,
right.
The Bells of Christmas, in honor of Dr. Phyllis Robertson's 30th year with the baton. And tickets are $18 for adults, $15 for senior. All children 18 and under are admitted free, as well as college student with ID. So do not miss this concert Saturday night, 7:30 at Salem Church, 9th and State. The acoustics there are wonderful. Looking ahead to next weekend, the Villa Catherine has a little holiday celebration, the Joys of Christmas. The castle will be decorated for the holiday season.
You know, I had a friend text me from Scotland yesterday, and they were at a castle, and I said, hey, it's okay, we have castles too, right here in Quincy. If you haven't been over to our own Villa Catherine lately, gosh, they've been doing a lot of work and making it look gorgeous, but they have really gone all out for the holiday season for the first time. They call it the best-dressed holiday location in town. They're going to do special events kind of through the whole weekend. There is a gala on Friday night from 5 to 8, which is $25 per person or $40 per couple, and it's got beverages and hors d'oeuvres. But if you've got kids like I do and want to go make an ornament and see Santa Claus, then Saturday is your day from 10 to 2 with a $5 admission. And then the high school choirs will be coming in on Saturday night, from 4 to 8 for Christmas carols with just a $5 admission. And all of that goes up to the upkeep of the castle. I think people will be really, really excited to see just what can be see right here on the river. And
yeah, it's kind of an intrigue. A Moorish Islamic castle decorated for Christian Christmas. It should be interesting.
It should be great. And I'm just hoping, I like going at night and hoping that Bingo will be out there. The ghost dog,
yes, the big bull mastiff Bingo.
That haunts the grounds.
That haunts the grounds, according to some. So the gala for adults is Friday night from 5 to 8, December 13th. Admission is $25 per person, and that includes your beverage and hors d'oeuvre. The kids and family can come visit with Santa Saturday morning, December 14th, from 10 until 2, and that's $5. And then if you just want to tour the castle and listen to the beautiful Christmas carols from the high school choirs, they'll be singing Saturday evening from 4 to 8, and that's a $5 admission. And, of course, all the proceeds benefit renovation work scheduled for 2020. We're going to move on to the Dream Bourbon Raffle. Today, for all intents and purposes, is the last day to buy tickets.
Last day.
There are only 100 available. You still have a precious few that could be bought. You have a 1 in 100 chance, at least, of winning right now.
Right.
And this is a rare bottle of Buffalo Trace bourbon from their 6 millionth barrel. It's really hard to put a price tag on this.
Yeah, you know, that when they gave it, when we wrote the grant to get this bottle, they valued it at over $3,500, and that sort of is something I would never buy, right? I would never say, I'm going to spend $3,500 on a bottle of alcohol. But this is a chance to earn, to win something at a lot less money, but most importantly, buying a raffle ticket helps classrooms right in our area. We talk about it a lot, but our classroom program has more than, it says almost four times as big as when I took this job three and a half years ago, because there's such a demand. Our teachers love it. Our students love it. My kid is in school here in Quincy, and he benefits from it. Matt Morris came into his classroom a couple weeks ago through this program and did a great presentation. So kids are benefiting throughout the community, and as this program grows, we have to find new ways to fund it. So this is an opportunity for you to say, hey, I believe in the kids program, but maybe to, in addition, win something really cool for your donation.
Yeah.
Everybody who donates gets a year membership to Arts Quincy, so everybody wins. And they'll also get our really cool Christmas gift this year, which is a beautiful watercolor, a print of a watercolor of the History Museum right here on the square that was done by artist Jamie Green. So everybody's going to get that, at the very least, a year of Arts Quincy membership and all those benefits. And we'd love to have you on board and love to have you support the kids' programs with a ticket and a chance to win this great bottle, a cool bottle of bourbon and a really, really gorgeous display box.
Yeah. One of only 400 bottles.
In the world.
In the world. So you're going to, it's really rare.
And what's cool about it is you can't buy it. I mean,
no, you can't get it.
It was never sold anywhere. No. It was only given to nonprofits. We had to write a grant for it, a regular grant agreement. Had to sign a grant agreement and the whole bit. So nonprofits and only three in Illinois, I think, got one. So it's a real rare chance, and would love to have you support Arts Quincy through it.
And so if you have jelly fingers, or where they're called fumble fingers, do not pass this off as you present it to them. Okay, thank you very much. My husband's in the drawing.
Yes, I see. I'm excited about that.
Like, he needs a $3,500 bottle of bourbon, but that's okay. That's what he's getting for Christmas.
When
if he wins, I got it for him, right?
Right,
wins,
no, absolutely. It's going to make somebody's Christmas real happy.
If he doesn't win,
yeah.
Sorry, honey, I got you a chance at a bottle of bourbon.
I just have to know if they open it. Like, I have to know. Like, are you going to try it, or are you going to, you know, is it a display piece? I think I'd have to try it. I don't know anything about bourbon. I think I'll have to try it.
I could see somebody opening up a $3,500 bourbon and go,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Laura Siever. Coming up, we're going to talk with Clark Cruikshank about a great event that's coming up in Hannibal at Bluff City Theater. We'll be back in just a moment. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Joining me on the phone lines is Clark Cruikshank from Bluff
City Theater.
Good morning.
Sorry I can't be with you in person, but it's a beautiful day in downtown Hannibal.
Well, I was so looking forward to seeing you, but the sound of your voice has lifted a cloud. Yeah, we've got sunshine here. It's a great day. Clark, you're in a new production, and it's based on a true event, but then you've taken it and fictionalized it is the best way, right?
Yeah, that's right. In his autobiography, Mark Twain mentions that on December 31st, New Year's Eve of 1867, he and his future wife went on their first date to see Charles Dickens read from his novels. And Mark Twain didn't have a lot of nice things to say about the performance. He was a lover of Dickens literature, but not such a lover of his performance. So this takes place in 1867, New Year's Eve, the hour before midnight. We don't know that these two men ever met, but they were in the same building at the same time, and on the following day, Sam Clemens, Mark Twain, hired Dickens' tour manager to do a tour for him. So we're imagining that they did meet and what they might have talked about. So this is a conversation on the cusp of 1868.
The interesting thing about this is we know that he did go to the show. We know that,
yes,
as much as he loved Dickens' books, he was disappointed in the performance. And I guess that, you know, again, Sam Clemens really made a name for himself being on tour and the spoken word. So sometimes somebody can have a great ability to write, but not necessarily a great ability to perform or to set forth their own writing. So Dickens fell short in that way. So you have written this play. It opens on December 13th, for my information, runs to December 31st in Bluff City Theater. You and Richard Gary worked together on this. Tell us a little bit about the plot line, and does Mr. Gary indeed play Sam Clemens.
He does. He's been playing Sam Clemens here in Hannibal for 17 seasons in his show, Mark Twain Himself. He's playing a younger Mark Twain in this show, Mark Twain on the cusp of fame. He's only published the one book, The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. His self-confidence is not very high. So in this story, Dickens encourages him to keep at it and keep writing. They talk about writing. They talk about slavery. They talk about Christmas. They talk about tobacco chewing and spitting being the American habit when Dickens visited the country. But Richard and I had a conversation over coffee. We usually both do Christmas shows. This year, we were feeling a little burnt out on Christmas shows. And then we started talking about Dickens, because I played Dickens last year, and Twain, and came up with this story that they had actually met. So Richard was in charge of bringing in the Twain quotes. I was in charge of the Dickens quotes. So most of this is in their own words. We made a list of things we wanted them to talk about, and then we went out and we got their words on them and put them together.
So this will take place on New Year's Eve, 1867, Samuel
right.
Clemens and Charles Dickens meeting at Steinway Hall in New York City, or at a bar afterwards, at a gentleman's club afterwards, where they ring in the new year together. And tell us a little bit about how we can get tickets. So it's not Christmas-themed. It's more New Year's Eve-themed. If anything, it really doesn't have any theme except great literature.
That's right. There are snippets of A Christmas Carol in there, because when Clemens saw Dickens read, he was disappointed, among other things, because he didn't read from A Christmas Carol. So Clemens kind of tricks him into reading from A Christmas Carol in this play. You can get tickets by calling 573-231-0021. That's Richard Gary's theater, the Planter's Barn. You can stop by the Planter's Barn Theater between 11 and 5 at 319 North Main Street in Hannibal, or you can get tickets online at heritagestage.com. Tickets are $20, $10 for children and students with a valid ID, and group rates are available.
So it's $20 for an adult ticket. It is being held at the Bluff City Theater, 212
right.
Broadway, but you can get
That's
your
right.
tickets through the Planter's Barn Theater, which is Richard Gary's regular theater, and that number again is 573-231-0021. Now, Bluff City
That's
Theater
it.
Is a very intimate space. Do you
it
have?
Is. We are
do you
right.
Have light?
We are 4 feet from the front row
yeah.
in this one.
So do you have a
when
lot
we
of...
talk about spitting tobacco, we might be doing some spitting ourselves.
Do not put the spittoon anywhere near me on the dates I come. But do you do any costume changes, any set changes, or is it just a one act?
It really is a one act. I mean, we are sitting in the library of this gentleman's club, not that kind of gentleman's club, the old-fashioned gentleman's club, in front of the fireplace in a couple of chairs, having a conversation. I mean, we're not sitting there the whole time. We are moving around, and we are acting out bits of A Christmas Carol, but mostly we're just sitting and talking.
Okay. Now, you talk about it starting December 13th and running to December 31st. Surely it doesn't run every single day, or does it?
No, it doesn't. We run Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30, Sundays at 2 o'clock, and then on New Year's Eve, we have a 7:30 show, and after the show, we've got an after party at the Robards Mansion on 6th Street in Hannibal, an 1870s mansion here in Hannibal. Lovely place.
So it's going to be December 13th and 14th at 7
right.
p.m., and then a
right.
Sunday matinee at 2, and then you're
yes.
off until New Year's Eve?
No, we run 3 weekends.
Okay.
So Fridays and Saturdays and at 7:30 and Sundays. So we run those 3 weekends, we run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we have the Tuesday night New Year's Eve show.
Okay. And that's the special show with the after show kind of added in.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So it costs $20 if you're an adult, $10 for a child. Reserve seating. There really is no reserve seating at Bluff City Theater, is there? It's just basically...
No, there's not. I mean, we can reserve front row seating for folks that have special needs or have trouble getting up and down or, you know, want to be up close and personal to the spitting. But it is first come, first serve.
I don't know how many people are going to take you up on the offer to be up close and personal to the spitting. I guess your next thing is going to be a Gallagher performance with watermelon. Okay,
right.
Clark,
I'm shopping for watermelons right now.
Oh, gosh. Clark, it's going to be delightful. Two professional actors who have played these parts before. Of course, Richard Geary has done Mark Twain his whole life, and Clark Cruikshank is a Charles Dickens aficionado. So if you like literature and you would wonder what it would be like if Dickens and Clemens sat down over a brandy on New Year's Eve, you're going to find out when this goes into effect. What is the actual name of the play?
It's called On the Seventh Day of Christmas, Charlie and Sam Ring in the New Year.
Okay.
We're just calling it On the Seventh Day of Christmas because it is a mouthful, but that's the full title.
Okay, On the Seventh Day of Christmas. Okay, thank you very much, Clark Cruikshank. Really appreciate it. You have a great Christmas, and break a leg.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Break
appreciate
a leg.
It.
We're back, the Mary Griffith Show, brought to you by Hillbean Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. Still deer season. Make sure you get one with a gun, not with your car. We're going to talk today about one of the wonderful traditions of Christmas, the Kitty Bazaar. And it's put on every year by Home and Community Education. And this is a bunch of ladies that get together to improve themselves and to be better homemakers, to be better citizens in our community. And they also love to spread Christmas cheer. And since 1988, they've been having a little store of their own in multiple locations so that children from pre-K through fifth grade can shop at a very reduced price at the Kitty Bazaar. And Mary Voorhees is a member of Adams County Home and Community Education, and she is here today to talk a little bit about the 50-cent to $4 items that people can get their kids to buy. The best thing about this is you send a list of who the kid needs a present for. Mom and Dad, it's a surprise because they're not allowed in with the kiddos to the shop, are they?
No. We usually have volunteers like from Senior High, Quincy Senior High. We have volunteers from 4-H in the county and in the city because we have three locations that we have Kitty Bazaar. One is in Camp Point at the United Methodist Church. Another one is in Payson, Seymour Elementary School in Payson. And then we have the third one at Salem Evangelical United Church of Christ, Salem Church Hall.
So and three places to shop this Saturday morning from 8:30 to 11:30.
Yes.
But get there early. Last year you ran out of gifts.
Yes, we just didn't realize we didn't have enough. This year we've really gone all out, so we are good to go.
Good to go, and that is great. Well, the purpose of this is to allow children who want to give gifts to their teacher, their grandparents, their siblings, their parents, a chance for them to actually have that element of surprise. Because while Mom and Dad bring them down to Salem Church or to Payson Elementary School or to Camp Point United Methodist Church on Saturday, they sit and have a cup of coffee somewhere else. While the children go in, the presents are picked out, the kids have a budget, they pay for their presents, they're gift wrapped, and they're sent home. So that Christmas morning, it's a surprise what mom is getting. Mom doesn't have to buy her own Christmas gift from all of her kids.
That's right.
Okay. So they range in price from 50 cents to $4. Many of them are handcrafted items that are frankly worth a lot more than the price that you've affixed to them. But let's talk about some of them. She's giving me one to open. A surprise. So, for example, it's a beautiful, already packaged. It's a snowman package, and inside is a wonderful gift that would be perfect for a teacher or your pastor or your grandma. It's a wonderful coffee or hot cocoa mug filled with hot cocoa for a cold night, a peppermint stick, some Hershey's Kisses, just a simple little thing that they can pick out for themselves. And how much would something like this go for?
I would say no more than $1.
Right. So the child may have six people on their list, and maybe they have $14 that were given to them. They've got to come up with something for somebody. They may want to spend more for some people, less for some people, but you've got them at all different price points. And so you've got lots of things that incorporate something that everybody likes, a soft drink, peppermint candy, things like that. Good gifts for Christmas for children to give to adults in their life, maybe even the mailman.
Yeah,
you know, or
you
their
go.
Bus driver or somebody like that. So talk a little bit about the different groups that have put this together. The tumbleweeds. I think my mother was a tumbleweed, wasn't she?
Yes, your mother was a tumbleweed, and she was the life of the party.
I can't imagine her making crafts. But she was kind of crafty, I guess.
Yes, she did. She enjoyed it. We
enjoyed
her.
Talk a little bit about the different groups. Because you meet together, it's like a fellowship, but it's also for education and entertainment. In the old days, it was to become a better housewife, a better housemaker. Now it's really to become a better citizen, right?
Well, in the old days, when they first started out, it was to bring the city housewives together with the country housewives.
Right.
Because we're talking back in 1918.
Sure.
You didn't have the communication that you have today. So by getting these two groups together, they found out that they did have a lot in common. They had religion. They had family. And by getting that dynamic working, we were able to come up with our home extension. And we have units that are in the county, units that are in the city of Quincy. And we all get together once a year, and we all find our common ground again. So I think it's a wonderful organization that incorporates family, faith, and our kids then help how to help and how to keep things going.
Right, how to be a better citizen, too, because, again, it's the woman in the home, out in the workplace. I know a lot of your women work outside the home, but it's that woman who's driving that community and civic involvement. And how can you get involved, and where are the needs in our community, and how can we support each other? So the Sunshine Girls is another group that gets together. And tell us all the other names. Some of the names of these places are great. Some of them are just geographic names, and some of them have wonderful names like Tumbleweeds and Sunshine Girls.
Well, the Beverly Liberty and the Burton Plainville Day group belong in all what we call the Southern District. The Camp Point, the Chatton, and let's see, the Paloma, and I'm thinking that's it for the, for the county. And then we have the Gem Unit, the Tumbleweeds, the Quincy Unit, Unity Night, and they all incorporate into the city. And then we also have a Quilt League. We have a book club. We have been using a card club, and we have that about twice a year. So it's just a variety of interests, and it whatever, you know, kind of floats your boat.
Well,
come and
you
join
can
us, and we have lessons.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's the thing. You have these lessons whenever you meet about a variety of different things that everybody needs to know, especially caring for their home and their family or caring for themselves. You know, we forget that maybe back in 1918 it wasn't quite as easy to get together as it is now, but still making an appointment and saying, this is my home and community education night, or this is my luncheon day, I'm going to this, is very important for people because, again, that fellowship and that sisterhood is what builds community.
Oh, yeah, it is. And we all are very, very fortunate. We have such a lovely group of ladies, and we all seem to have our interests, and we all support each other.
Okay, they have enough gifts this year, they promise. And so all you have to do if you're out there listening, this is a wonderful gift to give your children, not because you're giving them a physical gift, but because you're teaching them how to go and buy something for someone they love. They're probably going to get something for their teacher. They want to get something for their grandma and grandpa. There may be a neighbor lady next door. These are people who you're not going to budget a whole lot of money to spend on kids' Christmas gifts to these people, but the children will pick these things out themselves. It may inspire them to come home and make something similar to it with stuff they find. But the most important thing is when you bring them, you put in an envelope the names of all the people or the positions, like Susie Smith, teacher, you know, Ben Adams, pastor of church, babysitter, grandparents, you know, and then the volunteers look at the list and look at the money that you've provided, because you got to give them money to spend, and then they work with the kids. If they have four people on the list and they only have $10, not everybody can get a $4 gift. They've got to make some choices, right?
Right, right. And also, I don't know if we mentioned this, but the pre-K and through fifth grade are the children that are eligible to shop at the Kitty Bazaar. So junior high, high school are the ones that usually volunteer and help these mm-hmm. children. So it's a learning experience for both. And it's very educational, and I think it really helps the child to think and budget what he needs and what he wants to do.
Right. The experience of choosing the gift and then giving that gift and having it be a surprise.
Yes.
That is the experience. And, you know, kids, they just love to give. And I remember one time I gave my mother a pair of earrings, and my goddaughter was there at the birthday party. She was real little, and she hadn't participated in buying them at all, but I'd showed her them. And so she told my mother that they were from her, you know. My mom figured it out that they weren't from her, but it was cute. She wanted to have something to give.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she wanted to give.
And they do want it.
So have I got it right, though? They just put the names in an envelope, put the money in an envelope, because
right.
the volunteer is going to go in with them. The parent needs to come and stay and have a cup of coffee and relax and chitter-chatter out in the lobby, because it doesn't take that long for the kids to go through and shop.
It doesn't usually, no.
How many total items, total different kinds of items will you have? I mean, you've brought five or six different things. You've got a keychain made out of a wine cork. Is this what is this, Mary?
That is a little Christmas hat.
It's a Christmas hat.
It's a decorative little hat.
It's beautiful. It's got a cardinal on it. And it does. It looks like kind of like Abraham Lincoln's stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
Or Frosty the Snowman's hat.
Yeah.
That's what made Frosty
and
magic.
And you notice what they made it out of.
An old can.
Yeah, and they painted it black.
Right.
And then added their decorative
and
items
so,
to it.
So much of this stuff, like I said, is just handcrafted, and it's a great way to say, how could I reuse some of these items?
So another item is in that little sack there.
Oh, you want me to look at that?
Oh, yeah, you may as well.
Surprising me with these great things. So there are going to be, how many total different items are there to choose from?
Oh, I would not even know how to tell you how many, because each unit brings their things. And
so this is considered one item. Everything in here?
Yes.
Okay, so basically what we have in here is we have a nice can of Pepsi, somebody's favorite drink. Lovely. We've got some wonderful Twix and Milky Way and different kind of candies. And then a beautiful notepad. A beautiful notepad with a hummingbird on it and a pen. And again, what grandma wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
What grandma couldn't, or grandpa even, wouldn't want that. And that's, you know, the thing. Sometimes it's hard to buy for that favorite uncle, that favorite aunt, that neighbor. But you've got the cups with the cocoa and the Pepsis and the,
right.
and the, you know, the different things that are either have a you know, some food value to it, they're going to consume it, or a knickknack. And, you know, normally we say we don't want a whole lot of knickknacks for Christmas, but when your grandkids give you a knickknack, it's a beloved, cherished knickknack.
Yes, 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 yes.
Frosty's hat is a beloved and cherished knickknack. And I do say, I don't know who is responsible, but somebody drank a lot of wine so that you could have a keychain made out of wine corks. We appreciate it. Folks, it is this Saturday. It is 8:30 to 11:30 at three locations. Pick your location. They'll all have the same gifts. Salem Church Hall in Quincy, Payson Seymour Elementary School, or Camp Point United Methodist Church. Doors open at 8:30. Best selection when you get there at 8:30. Just come with your children, bring their list, bring their budgeted money, and the volunteers will send you home with all kinds of gifts.
And I might add that each section or location will have their own selection of gifts. We do not all have the same place, things at the same place.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because, you know, when you have a talented lady, she's at this one particular spot, she's going to have a lot of things there, and then another talented lady at another place. So it's always amazing what you see.
You never know what you're going to turn up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.